Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Hyperconscious Podcast. Alan, what is Hyperconscious?
Once you understand why something is the way that it is, now you have the power to change it. Great conversations with great people and great questions are the keys to the kingdom of unlocking your consciousness.
Every single action that you do starts as a thought. When you control the way you think, you will control the way you act, and you will control the way you live. That is hyperconscious. Ladies and gentlemen, the Hyperconscious Podcast is proudly sponsored by our friend and mentor, David Meltzer of the Playbook Podcast. He was kind enough to join us on episode 144 and 135.
Folks, it has become Kevin and I's mission in life to help you realize that the life of your dreams is right on the other side of you becoming the greatest version of yourself. Let us help you do that.
I rarely do these things twice in such a short amount of time, but you guys impress me. I believe in people that provide value and of our service. You two guys are on your way to huge fulfillment, purpose, and profitability, and I look forward to helping you both.
We appreciate that more than you know. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to another very special, as always, episode of the Hyperconscious Podcast. We hope you enjoyed our latest episode where Alan and I sat down and talked all about burnout. Today, for episode number 273, we are going to do a scratching the surface episode on why your adversity is your advantage.
So before we scratch that surface,
you can talk about the event. I'll talk about go to www.thehyperconsciouspodcast.com, click join hashtag Hyperconscious Nation, and you'll be entered into our private Facebook group with a bunch of like-minded individuals who want to become the most hyperconscious versions of themselves because they realize that is the way to success.
Strong work.
Not bad,
strong
huh?
Plug. And if you go to www.topnotchlive2020.com and click on buy a ticket, you'll go to right, you'll go to our event. It is January 25th. We have 8 speakers, 2 Q&A panels, 1 in the AM and PM. It's a full day, full immersion event. Folks, if you look at the last 3 or so years, Kevin and I's journey, the things that changed our life the most were High Performance Academy,
yep.
Your World Within Live, Influencer Academy. The people you meet at events like this are unbelievable allies for the future. Allies we're realizing are everything. You've got to be in this room. Not only are you going to learn more, you're going to leave that room more ambitious and with a team of like-minded people.
Fire. Okay, so we actually just got off an episode with Danielle Umstead, who is a blind downhill skier.
Right.
And after the episode, we were talking about what do we want to do for our episode that's dropping tonight, because we're recording it right before it drops. And we said adversity. The one common theme for everybody that's been on the show, basically, is before their climb to their dreams or their purpose or their passion or whatever success to them means, they went through some sort of adversity. And it's almost like without that adversity, they would have just kept doing what they were doing.
Well, we've talked often about how human beings usually don't change unless they're in pain.
Right.
In the Florida, we came up with something called the pain.
You say in the Florida?
In the Florida, is that what I said?
Yeah.
In the Florida, the state of Florida, last year, this time last year, we were in Florida living with T-Mac, and we came up with a concept called the pain-pleasure pendulum.
Yeah.
Do we want to talk about that?
Yeah, I think we should.
What's your take on that?
This is the way I explain it. So, and this was something that I dealt with a lot when I was back doing the job that I was doing. So, picture this. You go into work and you have the worst day you have ever had at work. Throughout the entire day, you're saying, screw it, I'm quitting. Like, I'm done this job. This is the last day I will ever work at this job. What happens? You go home, you calm down, you cool down a little bit, and your rational mind starts logicking you. It's like, you can't leave. How are you going to pay the bills?
Right.
Right? So then Tuesday comes.
It's not that bad.
It's not that bad. Right. Like, look at the benefits. It's not that bad. You go in Tuesday and it's a little bit better. It's a little bit better. Wednesday's hump day, halfway through the week. Like, it's not that bad. Mm. Thursday comes. Thursday is Friday Eve. And then once Friday comes, you're like, you know what? It's the weekend. I'll have time to recharge. Now, when I had my F no moment, right? So that basically that is what the pain pleasure pendulum is. The lower on hell no you go, the more you will be willing to risk to get to hell yes.
The further
you're willing to, the more you're willing to risk.
Right. So picture a pendulum. On the far left, if you swing the pendulum all the way to hell no, then it swings all the way over to hell yes.
Right.
But usually people seek comfort before they get all the way to hell no.
But picture this, like, you know, it's hard to do it on this. If you picture, so like Alan said, if you picture a circle, right? And picture, it wouldn't be a circle, it'd be like a half circle.
Right.
So if you have 10 on the left, that is the maximum amount of pain you can be on.
Right.
And then if you picture, just say zero as a figure. Well, just say 100.
Okay.
You have zero on one side, you have 100 on the other side of this half circle.
Okay.
Okay? The further you go towards zero, the more likely you are to chase towards 100. The problem is people usually get stuck in that like
comfort zone, yeah.
50 to 60. And it just keeps going back and forth, 50 to 60, 50 to 60, 50 right. to 60. Right. And that's why when you hear people say, I hit rock bottom. And then what? Like, I had nothing to lose.
Right.
When so you have you nothing to lose, yeah, you have to go all in. So there's so many Anthony Trucks.
Mm.
Right? Anthony Trucks. Brandon Farbstein.
Right. With the bullying.
With the bullying. Isabella Picard yep. with her accident. Eric LeGrand.
I know.
Cheryl Hunter, Lori Harder.
You.
Me, you.
Right.
So I think what happens is a lot of people, you're looking back on your past and you're thinking of your adversities as a reason to not try something new, as a reason to hold yourself back. Like, oh, this is what happened to me when I was young. This is why I can't do this. What if you shifted that to, this is what happened to me when I was young. This is the person that created, and that's actually why I can do this.
Well, we talk. Shiloh just entered the studio.
Oh,
it's little Shiloh.
You must know the intensity is high. You want to get on camera?
Come on camera, little Shiloh.
Come here.
This is my sister's puppy, by the way. Her name is Shiloh, and she is the mascot of the Hyper Conscious Podcast.
Hi.
Okay, so the pain pleasure pendulum. When the pain is great enough, you will change. Kevin and I talk a lot about feedback. So I was in the gym with my fitness coach Nate last night. And I haven't been focusing quite enough on strength these days. As a matter of fact, Kevin and I had a debate not long ago about that.
I won.
And right. And so in the gym last night, it became very clear to me that Nate has been putting in far more work in the strength arena for far more years than I have. And the feedback was very painful. And now I have more incentive to change my behavior. And there's two changes you can make. You can change your perception or your behavior. And the thing is if we're avoiding pain, and I'm not going to lie, it was uncomfortable to be in the gym with him. We were bench pressing, and he did twice as much weight as me. And it's like, that's uncomfortable. It's feedback. That's okay, because now I'm more incentivized. You either accept the fact that you're weaker and just change your perception and say that's okay, or you change your behavior, and all of a sudden you start working on strength. So I think that one of the takeaways we wanted to make clear in this episode, your adversity is your advantage if you use it to get better. If you use the pain of the feedback, of the truth, to make a positive change in your life. I often say when you're in emotional pain, the only wrong answer is to sit back and remain the same.
I was just watching Shiloh run around. If you guys like cute puppies, make sure you watch this YouTube episode because Shiloh is the cutest.
She is.
So, what was I going to say?
Your adversity is your advantage. So what's an adversity in your life that became an advantage after the fact? I have a good example of you that I'll say after, but I think it's fire.
For me, I think anxiety actually is, it's a benefit if I allow it to be. Like the reason I prep so hard for speeches and for things like that is because I'm afraid of things going wrong.
Right, but that's because you're using the fear to motivate you as long as you show up and try.
You got to show up and try, yeah.
Right,
yeah.
So here's another one, right? So I've noticed that you've grown a ton as a man ever since your relationship with Taryn.
Mm-hmm.
And because of how much you care about her, and every time we've really dug deep into that on the podcast, you usually start tearing up. And to me, that emotion is powerful. What do I mean by that? He cares about Taryn so much that is even the idea of hurting her is so painful that it's going to force him to be a better man. That is why your adversity is your advantage, because you're going to have challenges. You're going to screw up. You're going to say something you didn't mean, and she's going to get hurt. But what do you do about it? And her getting even a little bit hurt amplifies your pain of staying the same so much that you're going to change for something greater than yourself. Well, and I think that's what we're talking about
here. Yeah, and I think of it like this, and I've told this story before, that this time last year, I looked at my bank account, and I didn't know if I had enough money to pay rent, right? I was feeling my back was against the wall. I was under so much pressure. I was in the pressure cooker, and I ended up getting 5 clients because of that.
Right.
My adversity became the drive, became the motivation, became the fear chasing, became the push to become an advantage.
You and I went into the studio, which was my sister's room at the time.
Yeah.
And we whiteboarded out how to get clients.
And that's painful.
Now you know how.
It's painful to look at your bank account and say, like, again, there's no check coming unless I create the check.
Right.
Right? That's part of being an early entrepreneur. If you don't do the work, the money doesn't just come. It doesn't just show up on Friday because it's payday.
Despite what some books might tell
you. Payday is work day. When you work, you get paid. You know, and that was something that I wasn't prepared for. I wasn't prepared for that. But again, one of the things that I'm really good at is taking an idea and turning it into an action. That's because of my adversity. I know it is. That's how I'm wired. I'm wired to struggle and then succeed, to struggle and then succeed. But I think, and it's funny because I was thinking of this on the way down. Like, hyper-consciousness for me started out as a weakness. It started out as...
Right. As something that you desperately needed.
Right. It was my adversity. It came from adversity. Hyper-consciousness came because I would have died if I kept living the same way I was living.
Mm-hmm. If you didn't change your thoughts.
Now, what would you say my biggest advantage is?
Hyper-consciousness. Right.
And that's... You guys might have the same thing. Like, you might have the same thing. And it's just a matter of taking action on that. Is it as easy as that? No. But I think you have to also understand that, like, you're going to have adversity along the way. And those little adversities are little course corrections that get made. Like, Alan and I have had bad episodes where it's like, we didn't do our greatest work.
Oh, yeah.
Why? Because we didn't do the prep work we needed to do.
Right.
If you can turn your adversity into an advantage, you'll at least make sure that you don't have the same adversity moving forward. And you'll you most likely won't fall all the way back. Your new settling point's higher.
Right. And the adversity
fired up
is predicated on... So, like, the last episode where we didn't feel like we did a great job, immediately afterward, we talked about it and then figured out how to fix it.
Yeah.
And that's because I think our standards are so high that we go up the pain pendulum quicker than most. Whereas other people would be okay with a crappy episode, we're not. So your standards are very tied to this. And you've heard me say on the podcast, the listeners have heard me say this, when you're in a dark emotional hole, the tools that you must develop to climb out of that also build skyscrapers. Rather than just some phrase, what does that mean? Kevin was in a dark emotional hole when his thoughts were controlling him and he was considering suicide on the side of the bed in New Jersey. Now, he had no choice but to change that, because otherwise he would have died. And now that is what the gift that he's giving to the world.
Yeah.
And that's building a skyscraper. So what was once your greatest adversity became your greatest advantage because you had no choice but to face it, because the pain pendulum was so far up the...
This is another thing, too. And I think it's another great example. For any of those out there listening who like boxing or MMA, you'll understand this better than other people, but I will explain it. So when I was, probably 17, I think, maybe 18. No, I was probably 19. I tore my labrum in my left shoulder and I had to get surgery. Okay. I couldn't lift my arm for like 3 months. Like, my arm was out of commission, but I learned to box the other way with this arm pinned to my side.
Right.
Now, which, I can box both ways. Most people can not even box once, or one way. Right. I can kickbox lefty, and I can kickbox righty.
That's a great example.
My adversity of not being able to use my arm became my advantage. Now, the only thing is, that's because I did something.
Exactly.
If you, let's say your adversity is you fall in a hole and you break your leg.
Right.
Right? And then you realize, I can walk on my hands too. hypothetically, right?
Right.
That doesn't mean you should keep falling in the hole and breaking your leg.
Right.
Because if you do that, your adversity actually becomes your downfall and not your advantage.
And here's the other thing. Kevin, in that analogy, when you said you tore your labrum, you kept boxing.
Yeah.
You didn't stop. That's the difference. Right. Imagine if, okay, person A and person B. Kevin A and Kevin B. Kevin A tears his labrum. That's what it's called?
Yep.
And decides, okay, I can't use my left arm, but I'm going to box with my right.
Dr. Allen.
Savage. Okay. Kevin B decides, you know what? I'm going to take these 3 months off. Maybe they lose the habit and never box again.
Right.
So not only did you not develop boxing with your right side, but now you don't box at all. That's the difference. Adversity becomes your advantage if you use it. Danielle Umstead never allowed her adversities to stop her from doing what she wanted to do.
Right.
And now her story is more powerful than it ever would have been otherwise. Most people can't ski regularly, never mind blind.
I think of this too, like, if you think of certain people, I want to find a way to say this where it's not, I don't mean it in an offensive way. Somebody with a disability is more unique than somebody without.
Right.
Right?
Of course.
You get recognized more because you look different.
Right.
You could go your whole life saying, oh, this sucks that I look so much different than anybody else. Then you become a speaker and you can charge more because you can draw a crowd because you have so many people that follow you on Instagram and love you.
Right.
Your adversity that you grew up and maybe you got made fun of and maybe you got bullied for is now an advantage. Brandon Farbstein.
Exactly. I was just thinking that.
Brandon Farbstein was born with a genetic disease. Is that the...
Genetic... What was it?
I don't know.
A form of dwarfism.
A form of dwarfism, yeah. And he's 3'9"?
Something like that, yeah.
For his whole life, he was made fun of.
Right. And
right?
Bullied.
And bullied for his whole life. Now he is a world-class speaker.
Yeah,
now, I'm not saying it's because he's shorter and he has a disability, but what I am saying is I bet you that helps to set him apart from everybody else.
Of course
his adversity became his advantage.
Because he used
because
it.
Because he used it.
Exactly.
Because
he never
faced,
stopped.
Exactly. Because right. He faced the bullies. And
saw
he
him at
stuff.
Influencer.
Yeah.
Hoping to have him on again.
I actually messaged him today.
He on his TED Talk, he's on a little, what do you call that?
Segway.
Yeah. And it's a very unique TED Talk because of that.
Right.
And it's really cool. It's really cool.
I was thinking of that on the way down. It's like every single one of us has something that we've gone through that we would probably consider adversity. And it's usually the people who never dial into the pros of that. That really, really, they figure out like, oh, I'm lost. I feel like I'm lost because of this thing. Or this thing that's it's always held me back. Wayne.
Right.
Lieutenant Wayne McGee.
I know.
Had every reason not to try.
I
he
know.
Wasn't supposed to live past the age of 2. And now he's crushing it. He's an author. You know what I mean?
It's when just, he was born, he was the size of an average man's hand.
Right. He fit into the size of an average man's hand, I think.
Right. Like, and that's what we love to do. We like to take people on this podcast and pull back the curtain on what it really took. And it's interesting, too, even just me being vulnerable here. I remember when Mark, we were at a mastermind, and he was like, how do you know so much about relationships? I said, honestly, accumulated failure over time. I was always trying to be the best boyfriend I could be, and I kept screwing it up. And every time I screwed it up, I kept trying and figuring it out.
Yeah.
And now I feel like because of that, I'm a wonderful boyfriend.
And I think the other thing is...
And a wonderful man. More than I would have been otherwise.
More,
yeah.
Yeah, you still got a ways to go.
Yeah. I really do. No, you're... Dude, I do.
I'm just kidding.
Gonna get rid of some junk.
I'm just kidding. I think that... Jeffed me again. I had something good.
You had something good?
Yeah, man.
Something about...
How was Christmas?
Failure through time. Yeah, right. Yeah. Shiloh, come back.
Christmas good?
Failure through time.
Failure through time.
As long as you don't give up. And each time... I mean... Okay. What's an example of that for you?
Fire Academy.
Something that, right.
Yeah, Fire Academy. Were you going to say something that I faced adversity and then quit?
No, I was going to say faced adversity and then made it an advantage.
I honestly think it's been most of my life. My work ethic is based on fear of not having enough.
And now that's your greatest strength.
Now that's
one of
my greatest strengths.
Still got some work to do.
Yeah, I definitely got some work to do. I've been jeffing the last few days, for sure. I had a point that I wanted to make, but now I don't know
It'll
what
come
I
back. It'll come
Let's
back.
Let's just sit in silence till then?
Sure.
I don't like that.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't like that.
Okay.
Your adversity
is your advantage.
You got the adversity, you got the advantage.
Here, I'll say the Darren Hardy quote and see if something stirs something. So Darren Hardy, in The Compound Effect, talks about how your adversity is your advantage, and that most people use their past as a billy club that they keep beating themselves over the head with, when in reality, your adversity was the emotional training ground to go and do extraordinary to develop the emotional muscle to go and do extraordinary things that ordinary people simply cannot do. Imagine someone grew up with no adversity. They're completely spoiled. Okay? They're handed everything. They don't have to work for anything. Imagine that person's character. That's like going to the gym never having lifted heavy weight. You're going to be weaker. Yep. Honestly, like, that's the human condition. Call me hardcore if you want, but imagine if you had no adversity ever. You're going to be emotionally weak. Even the littlest thing, you get a flat tire, it's going to freak you out. Whereas if you grew up like Anthony Trucks in foster care with horrible things happening to you, a flat tire is not going to bother you.
Well, I think that's also why if you raise an animal, you can't release it. A lot of times you can't release it into the wild.
Exactly.
It has not created the skills to cope with the outside, with the real world, quote unquote.
Exactly.
The thing I was going to say is, when we have people on, you know, who have gone through such adversity, again, Eric, Isabella, Anthony, Danielle,
Cheryl,
Wayne, Cheryl, Brandon Farbstein. At the end of that episode, Alan and I will sit there and be like, what the hell are we complaining about?
Oh, yeah, that just happened.
Yeah, like... Yeah,
with Danielle Umstead.
What do I have to complain about? My body is in working condition. I get to go to the gym. You know, I get to drive. I get to do all these things.
Right.
And that's another thing is, like, your adversity is your advantage in a couple of ways. If you can find perspective and use your adversity to help other people create their advantage, or realize that your adversity would be an advantage to somebody else.
Explain that more.
Our worst days are still better than some people's best.
I know.
And so there's one side of it. And the other side is our worst days are still better than some people's best. So we should use our worst days to help other people avoid theirs, or give them hope that, you know, it might be bad right now, but it's not forever, especially if you lean into that. Like, sometimes you got to lean into the dark stuff that hurts you to make sure it doesn't hurt you again, and try to save people from going down the same road that you did.
One of the reasons why I value fitness so much is because I lost my health. Remember, I was out of school for like 2.5 months when I was a senior in high school. That was so painful for me. And now I appreciate my health so much more because I know what it's like to not have it. And I have a flashcard in my pocket that says, never forget that someone's in a hospital bed right now begging God for the opportunity that you have.
Right.
You don't have to go to the gym. You get to go. And I just don't think I'd be the same man if I didn't have that shit that I had to crawl through.
I agree. And I think so many of us hide from it. So many of us want to pretend that it never happened. And maybe you're not at the point yet where you can look at it and say, like, oh, that made me the person I am today. Maybe you don't like who you are yet,
yeah.
Right? Maybe you have some work you have to do. That's fine.
Mm-hmm.
That's fine. But the stuff in your past is always going to be in your past. It's just the association and the credit that you give it. It's the title that you give it. It's the relationship you keep with it. For me, for a long time, my past was the reason I couldn't succeed. Now it's the reason I will.
It's fire.
It is.
That's such a cool quote.
But for a lot of people, they're just not there yet. That's all. And
how do we shift that? How did you shift that?
Suicide, like being on the edge of suicide, realizing I don't ever want anybody to have to go through this, and realizing the reason I'm still here is because that would have I feel like that would have taken a lot of people.
Right.
So now I got a second chance. Like, I got to make the most of that.
Amen to that. Same with me after the car accident.
Right. We both went all the way to hell no.
Oh yeah.
Well, there's nowhere else to go but up.
And we talked about how that strips away everything but the truth.
Yeah.
And then you can only build from there. Yeah, I just figured out that I have a dramatic reading. It's super, super quick. It's Elizabeth Kubler-Roth. Sorry. You'll love it, actually, and it's on my phone, but I don't know how much time we have.
We got to go.
We got to go?
Yeah, you got to hammer it.
Okay. So this is super fast. I usually send this. Oh, I can't.
Can't do it.
I can't access it.
Jeff, give us the outline of it. What's the one takeaway?
Basically, the takeaway is that beautiful people don't just happen. The beautiful people have known defeat, known suffering, known difficulty, known challenge, and have found their way out of the depths.
What's this young lady's name?
Elizabeth Kubler-Ross.
Elizabeth
Kubler-Roth.
Ross?
She should come right back up. Oh, yeah, it's Ross. Yeah, that's the one. Yeah. And then call it Beautiful People. He's Googling right now, just so people know, if they're not on the YouTube. Jeez.
Hold space.
I'm holding space. Gonna find my baby. No, gonna hold her tight. Gonna grab some. The new delight.
I'm on Amazon. I always end up on Amazon. I'm going to end up buying something here on the air.
On the air.
The most beautiful people we have known are those who have known defeat, known suffering, known struggle, known loss, and have found their way out of the depths. These persons have an appreciation, a sensitivity, and an understanding of life that fills them with compassion, gentleness, and a deep, loving concern. Beautiful people do not just happen.
Fire, one of my absolute favorites. And I actually have sent that recently to a client who was going through a hard time.
Is that it?
Strong work on finding that.
This was, Amazon, man. They're probably listening. Surprised it wasn't. It didn't just.
All of a sudden, Elizabeth Kubler-Roth are going to start coming to you.
Well, she wants to come on the podcast.
Do you? She's passed away, man.
R.I.P.
So, 10-second blips before we go.
10-second blip is. You can either allow your adversities to be the anchor that holds you back or the fuel that propels you forward.
Your adversity is your advantage if you allow it to be the emotional training ground to build emotional muscle. Emotions move mountains. Use them for good.
Fire. Ladies and gentlemen, we hope you enjoyed this. We hope you have a great Friday. On Sunday, we will be dropping the episode that we just did with the wonderful Danielle Umstead. You are absolutely going to love that, and you're going to see how overcoming adversity can change your entire life and give you a whole new grasp on it, a whole new vision, a whole new purpose.
Yeah, if you think you've been through adversity, listen to this episode. That'll give you perspective. We have no excuse but to be our best.
We hope you will enjoy, and we will talk to you on Sunday.
Talk to you soon.
Bye. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you so very much for listening to another episode of the Hyperconscious Podcast.
Going hyperconscious will absolutely change your life, because if you understand why something is the way it is, now you have the power to change it. If you going hyperconscious with us has changed your life in any way, please share this episode with one of your friends, because the more people that go hyperconscious, the better this world's going to be for everybody.
And if you would kindly leave us a 5-star review on iTunes, that would help us make more people hyperconscious, and we would be greatly appreciative.
Thank you.
Bye.